What makes this such a difficult discussion tonight is that one thing black people and white people have in common, neither want to discuss reparations for different reasons. White people want to deny it and black people don't think it's possible.
That's right.
So neither want to discuss it. There is a fear of discussing reparations. Even discussing, I talked with some people today at the conference I was at here in New York. I understand you're going up there with Ron Daniels the night that reparations come. Man, what's that all about? I know you're going to wear your dashiki tonight. I said, I don't know what I'm going to wear. It was a way of, in the name of civil rights, putting down the idea of the undiscussable, repair for damage done. A fear of research about reparations. John Conyers, in his bill, is only asking for research.
That's right.
Not even a conclusion, just research.
Break it down, Jess.
Fear of discussion and deny the status. Ain't no such thing as a pain so great that should be repaired for. To not, repeat, to not believe in reparations is to believe in ethnic cleansing. To not believe in reparations is to believe in ethnic cleansing as valid. We must see the measure of set for others in various reparation movements around the world that we have respected and that we have related to. There will be no TV covering this conference tonight or tomorrow, because this is off the list of discussable issues, the issue of reparations. Even as I listened to Brother Jeffrey talk about the $1 trillion, I know that's a low figure, Jeff. I'm owed that much for waiting tables and couldn't eat while I was waiting tables. And for catting and couldn't think of, they owe me $1 trillion. But if you get no money, to shift our psychology from creditor to debtor, there's a sense in which we feel we are lucky to be here, that somebody civilized and liberated us. Fact of the matter is, we are the creditors, not the debtors. But since we are brain dead on the subject, it's hard to break through. And the more educated we are, the more ignorant we are of it. As well as a limited number of PhDs and college educated folk here tonight, because the more educated you are in the system, the more your brain is cooked. Maya Angelou used to say that we would say slavery time like it was kind of in passing. 246 years of legal slavery. Well, the headquarters was Montgomery, Alabama, slaveocracy. And Wall Street was, in fact, the trading place.
Yes.
Wall Street was deeply involved, if not more so than the South. They planted and picked it in the South, and they sold it in New York. It was the global trade that drove the industry of slavery, at least from the American frame of reference. Now, the fact is, America is the last train on the slave train. We think we're the first because we've been Americanized. But the fact is, it came to Brazil and the Caribbean before it got here. And therefore, some of them started earlier than 1619 and got out earlier than we did and fought fights like they did in Haiti and got out. But is American framework 246 years in slavery. This is not a new subject about repair for damage done. It's not a new subject. 246, and that was this war where we fought to salvage the Union, ostensibly to save, to end slavery. Problem was, Jeremiah, we left the slave masters in charge of implementing abolition. We left the slave masters in charge of implementing abolition. And so we got the right to vote in 1870, but it was not implemented until 1965, 95 years later. And that's because when they removed the troops, they removed the capacity to protect newly a promised freedom that we were to have. The big mistake made in 1865 was we left the troops in charge, they left the slave masters in charge of the system. In 1965, we made the same mistake, we left the segregationists in charge of it, and they got it now. I was pained 2 weeks ago. We went in into Selma. What should have been a giant celebration was a celebration. Should have been a big demonstration. Because the 65 Voting Rights Act has been nullified by the 2013 Voter Rights Act. 1965, blacks could not vote, and white women could not serve on juries, 18-year-olds could not vote, couldn't vote bilingually, couldn't vote on college campuses. We won that, but we had Section 4 and 5 to protect, thus we had the protected right to vote. This court, led by Clarence Thomas, I say led by him because the court voted 5-4 to remove Section 4, remove the oversight, and Clarence Thomas said they should remove Section 4 and 5. He said it wasn't extreme enough. He tried to take us back to 1896. He took us back almost to pre-1954 because now from Virginia around to Texas, every southern state is now going Confederate again. And so we can vote, but it's diminished because we're locked in the back of legislatures. We have almost no power. And so on that stage sat a governor who collected $120 million from the Department of Education and spent all of it on prison reform and was not charged with misappropriation of money. On that stage, the governor turned down $10 billion in Medicaid, was a governor who resides in a state where 240,000 folks have lost the right to vote because they've been to prison. 180,000 of them are African American. He sat there honored on the occasion of celebration and should have been demonstrating against him. He is in Wallace's lineage and legacy. Yet our lack of appreciation of our history that makes us ignore the impact of ethnic cleansing on our minds. 246 must have beat me. We say today, we say Montgomery, think about Dr. King and Rosa Parks, but Montgomery, the home of Jefferson Davis. It's to march people from the river up Commerce Street by Dr. King's church and sell people on that broad avenue going up to the Capitol. Montgomery was a slaveocracy. And here we are 150 years later, Montgomery, 75% black, king of the black mayor, because some people have swallowed slavery and they've internalized it. This was low plan sustaining of our mentality. Freedom without a measure of equality, the slave masters of education, science, university, and technology, they kept the system's infrastructure. What is the missing piece I found, runs I work on, is that worse than slavery was 1880 to 1950. At least in slavery, they had an interest in protecting their property. The property had no legal power, no power to vote, to speak, to marry, to own anything, and so there was some measure of civility amongst the barbarity of the slave system. But when we were freed, we threatened the slave masters. All of a sudden, there were more slaves than slave masters, and so our right to vote triggered anger among them, and without the troops to protect us, it was open season on us from 1870 to 1950. The white indigent service, who had some measure of liberty based upon skin color, they became the Klansmen, soon joined by judges and ministers. Between 1870 and 1950, almost 5,000 blacks were lynched. I'm talking about ISIS, 5,000 where they beheaded, where they, most hangings, lynching took place after church on Sunday. People with their bonnets, women with their bonnets on, and little children holding hands, and fathers with the straw hats on, lynchings after church on Sunday. Are using blacks hanging as target practice. This period of lynching as a form of terrorism. From 1877 to 1950, Alabama 326 lynchings, Arkansas 503 lynchings. Now we're not discussing going through a court process being condemned. We're just talking about take folk out of jail and just simply lynch them. I was 7 years old, a guy named Will Earl. Mentally retarded, say, look funny at the white woman. Locked him up, put him in jail. They let him out, and the mob took him out and beheaded him, as in ISIS, beheaded him. Put his head in the garbage can, and they showed the can on the little papers down south. I'm 73 years, I'm still remembering today. Politics of lynching and terrorism. That's between 1877 and 1950. My father came in World War II, had to sit behind Nazi POWs, and could not use the same toilet they could use because at least they were white. Whites was felt closer to German Nazis than it did to African American comrades.